Did anybody get anything this morning? This morning I made the statement that man was both masculine and feminine, because I made that statement a number of times. But let's read here in the book of Jude, the third verse. Well, let's see, I guess we could just about read all that chapter. There ain't much to it anyway. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, unto them that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There was very little doubt as to whether Jude was in the Spirit or not, because he spoke of Moses and how that the angel disputed over the body. And there is no recording of it in the Bible. He apparently had to be in the Spirit to even know that. That was by revelation. If you'll notice, numbers of things that the apostles spoke of in their day, it was spiritual revelation, because there's no Bible for what they said in the Old Testament, the only Bible they had at that time. There's no record of the things that they spoke of, so it had to be by revelation. Now, Paul spoke of his much revelation. He wasn't ashamed, nor he wasn't afraid to say that God has given me much revelation. We're supposed to be the church that is at this point ready to be translated. And if we are, then we're supposed to have the revelation that Paul had and that John had, because Paul said that he was the apostle to the Gentile church, and said in that day when God judges the secrets of men's heart, he'll do it by the gospel that I preach, Paul said. So it's the message that Paul preached that's supposed to translate us and take us into the kingdom of God. Not only is it supposed to, but it worked for me. I made it. I hope you make it. Or I hope you've already made it. But I made it. He let me in. He took me in. I was a stranger, but he took me in. Took me right into the kingdom of God, and I've been there ever since. And I'll tell you, if you've never experienced it, it's altogether different from being in this world. Being caught up to the throne of God is altogether different from living in this world. In this world, there's troubles, sorrows, heartaches, woes, and problems. But in heaven, in the kingdom of God, there is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. If you've never been up here, you need to come up. It's a wonderful place to live. As Brother Terrell says, sometimes in preaching, you need to get off a crooked street and move over to Glory Avenue. A lot better neighbors over there. Jude said the others are murmurers and complainers. All right, I said something this morning that it might have caused a little bit of stir in your minds. It might have made you curious about what I said. We'll see if we can untangle a little of it if the Lord will allow us to. I like to come back to the board if I'm teaching, because if I don't holler at you, I can't keep your attention. But if I go to the board, a lot of times it helps me to keep your attention. I made the statement this morning. I said Adam was both man and woman. He was both masculine and feminine. The reason for that is because he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second man, Adam. And Jesus was both masculine and feminine. That's why he made himself twain, the Lord and the Christ. One of them represented the feminine part. That was the Jesus. Another represented the masculine part. That was the Christ. He was both masculine and feminine. A man today is both masculine and feminine. Now you would say, how can you prove it? Well, one part of proof is, how does a man give life to a little girl as well as he does a little boy? Can you explain it? He must have something feminine in him, or something feminine could not come from the loins. He has the power to give masculine life, or he has the power to give feminine life. Not the woman. The woman doesn't give it. It's the man that either brings the girl or boy into the world. He's the life giver. Now, that proves he's both feminine and masculine. Is that right? A lot of times I try to encourage our people to be masculine. Not because I'm contrary to feminine, the feminine part of God. But those that are masculine, you say, how can you tell, Brother Pike, who is masculine in the spirit and who is feminine in the spirit? Alright? How can you tell who is a babe in Christ, who is a teenager in Christ, who is a child in Christ, and who is a parent in Christ? The Bible says the parents shall lay up for the children. You can tell by their growth because the child is known by his doings. Is that right? It's the same way in the masculine and the feminine part. You recognize the masculine part as being the sons of God, which denotes the strength of God. You recognize the feminine part as being a weaker species of God. The woman is the weaker. That is the feminine part of the church, which represents the beauty of God. The feminine part stays at home, watches after things, helps keep things going, that they might bring spiritual children into the world. That's the feminine part. For when Zion travailed, she brought forth the sons and daughters. The masculine part is the part that's strong enough to overcome the trials, help the weaker one and console the weaker one, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, to help those that can't help themselves. They're strong enough to go out into the world and face the opposition, face the criticism, and face the problems of life, and still overcome. And those that are weak, that are always up and down, you help them because they represent the weaker part, which is the feminine part of the church. Now, a lot of people would get all mixed up. A lot of times, this is why that it's hard for me to get along with the masculine part of the church, more so than the feminine part. Now, you can tell the feminine part because it's a gossip, 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 gossip. And sometimes the masculine part gets into it. It's harder sometimes to get along with the masculine part, because the masculine part wants to get lazy. And they want the feminine part to do all the work. The wife and the children. And yet they count themselves strong, but they get spiritually lazy. And they're always wanting to go off somewhere. Go off somewhere. They don't want to ever stay around and do anything. But there is things that need to be done around the house sometimes. See, a person would say, well, praise God, that's why I have a desire to go, because I'm masculine. Not all the time. Sometimes a whorish woman wants to go. Just want to go because you're a whore. You can't stay at home. Not satisfied with the seed of your husband. Not satisfied with the love of your husband. Not satisfied with your home. You're a whore. Brother Branham called it a garbage can. And that's really what it is. Now, so then every time you leave home, that doesn't mean that you are some big, brave son of God. It could be that you're just a whorish woman, just wandering around from place to place. But there is sons of God that do go out and try to help. You follow me? There's the masculine part of God, and there's the feminine part of God. Here's another bad thing. You take some of the masculine part, wants to be a whoremonger and defile the feminine part when it's their own brothers and sisters, the low-downest thing in the world. They don't want to grow up and marry, get them a wife, but like it was back in the Old Testament when Reuben so carelessly went in to his own father's wife,
And the Bible said, cursed is the man that goeth up to his father's couch. And the curse of God came on him. God doesn't want us moving the landmarks of the old fathers either. The Bible said, ask for the old paths and walk therein. You'll find rest to your soul. We're not supposed to turn to the virgin parts of the church. The feminine part is made for marriage, but God has somewhere those that are supposed to marry them. Neither are you to commit spiritual harlotry with your father's wife. That's wrong. A man had a dream not too long ago that he was doing that very thing. Ain't been too long ago that he came to me, was telling me. We need to check up. A lot of times we can be evil. We look at the papers. We read the papers. Like I said a few days ago, where this man got upset, took a little baby, and because the little baby wet its diaper, did something, he said, I'll teach you a lesson. So he took and turned on the scalding hot water and held the little baby down with all its torture, raging and torment until the little fellow was silent. Somebody would say, what a cruel devil. But I want to tell you, that's only a spiritual type of your hot, blistering temper, words, and arrogancy that you pour out upon a babe of Christ just because it makes a mistake sometimes and wets the diaper. Instead of being a good mother and changing, or being a good daddy and telling the mother she ought to change it, while you try to provide something spiritual for them to eat. The Bible said provide for the household of God, especially for the household of faith. Make spiritual provisions. Look after it. See that things go right. Don't be spiritually lazy, but do something. Don't be a long tongue, a gossiper. Don't be a killer of babes. You read in these books, all these crime magazines, reading of all the horrible crimes, all the evils, and every bit of it was a type of the demons, the devils, those that are possessed with evil spirits. That's what it's a type of. And if in this world the laws of mankind is so hard on those that do that, that takes a man's life, or that defiles that which is pure, how much worse will God be on those that are spiritually corrupting this world and the people that are in it? Spiritually, I'm speaking of now. Spiritual whores, spiritual whoremongers, spiritual sodomites. How much worse is it? If the judgments of God in the natural are against man that much, I ask you the question tonight, how hard will God be on you at the judgment because you spiritually done these evil things? And some of you are guilty. Some of you are guilty. All of those things, my brother and sister, are a type. Where are you standing tonight? Where are you standing? God, here at Calvary, separated one part of the body from another part, that he might, as I said earlier in our message, reproduce his own image. A woman is the feminine part of a man, that that man may reproduce his own image. I've said this and I still hold to it. If a man goes to court against a woman, the court will award the children to the woman, but it's still wrong. God will allow that to be that way because that mother has to nourish that baby, and God's sympathy for the baby will let it be that way. But the baby does not belong to the mother. It belongs to the daddy. The mother's only a carrier for the life that came from the daddy. Somebody says, but daddy don't go through the travail. Don't you ever kid yourself. A good godly daddy goes through 10 times what a mother does. He puts his hand to the plow. He stays in the cold. He works in the slop. He works in the mud. Many times he's hurting. Many times he's aching. I've seen my old dad out. I remember this so very well when he and I was working out on a job. And it was so cold, I couldn't hardly bear to stand it. I just couldn't stand it. And I said, Lord, I can't stand this. I'm going to quit. And I looked over and saw my old dad standing by that fence over there, still trying to paint or still trying to work. And him there half froze to death. And I said, God, what kind of a person am I? If I stand out here till I literally freeze to death, I'm not going to leave. And my dad stand out here working. A man really goes through something to take care of a wife. Now, I ain't talking about a bunch of these lazy pretty boys. I ain't talking about that. Somebody that won't work. Somebody that's always got an excuse. As long as they can get their baby or their wife to get a little syrup and a biscuit, they think it's all right. They never get out of debt. They never level off. They never provide for their family. It's just up and down all the time. To me, that ain't much. That's the way I feel about it. Just trying to get from one biscuit to another, saying I'm making my family a living. To me, that ain't right. The Bible said to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And he gave his all. At Calvary, he gave everything that was within him to provide for her the very best that life could afford. And that's the way it's supposed to be with a man. If he really loves that wife and loves that baby. But the baby belongs to the man. He is the one that gave life. It is his life. It is his seed. It is his baby. That's what it is. It's supposed to bear his name. Jesus Christ brought us into the world. We belong to Him. We don't belong to the church. I know that in this crooked, warped up generation that they violate God's word. They violate the minister's word. Everyone that God has sent to preach the gospel to them, they violate it. They pay no attention to the word of God. And the church, which is supposed to be the mother, they award her all the rights. Let mother do what she wants to. Let her turn her children into a bunch of sodomites, bunch of whoremongers, prostitutes. Let her get some kind of formality. Let her get her a swimming pool. Let her get her a pool table. Let her get her short dresses, television, smoke, chew, curse, dance, frolic. So I called mama, said she could do it. But daddy didn't say she could do it. And if mama was in line, mama wouldn't do it. Nor the children wouldn't do it. But the crooked courts of today give the thing to the mother. And turn them loose. You know why they do that? Because the devil knows that those children, if they don't have a head, they'll go to the slop holes of the world. And knows that mama will go out there too. And the devil makes it convenient by causing daddy to have to work and take care of them while they're doing those filthy things. But it still ain't right. It shows a perverted side of the church. The church is in that kind of condition today. When it comes right down to the very law itself, the church has its right. The word of God's thrown out. The minister that's going to preach the word, they don't listen to him at all. They say the church, the children belong to the church. Belongs to the church. The church has the right. Whatever the church says, that's what it is. But I'll tell you what the church says don't mean a thing. The Bible said, wives, obey your husband in all things. Honor your husband. Reverence your husband in all things, the Bible said. That means that Jesus Christ is the preeminent in everything. And I'm to be subject to him. I don't have anything to say about it. It's what he says. If he says it, then I've got to do it. Now, I believe that we ought to love the wife enough to be kind to her. The Bible said to give honor to her as the weaker vessel, which means she's subject to break down and cry. If I didn't know it was God's plan, I never would understand that. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. But because God did it, I know it's got to be right. But a woman can walk up and spit in your face, slap you, bite you, kick you, beat us like a tiger, and turn around in 3 seconds and just bawl and bawl and bawl. And I've never been able to figure it out. A man can't do that. If a man's mad and he hits you between the eyes, he expects you to hit him back. You hit him back, he'll hit you again. But not a woman. She can bite you, she can kick you, she can knock you around, and then she can sit down and cry like she ain't done nothing. I don't know how she does it. I've often said this. I made the statement, it looks to me like a woman can turn tears on and off like a faucet. Just whenever she takes an ocean, she turns it and she starts crying. She is tired, she turns it off. I don't know how she does it. I can't do it. But see, man wasn't made to do it. God made a woman like that. She's the weaker vessel. She's weak, so she can start crying. She's weak, she can stop crying. It's whatever she wants to do. Sounds like she'd be stronger. But really, that's a weakness. She's so weak, she can just start crying. She's the weak, she can stop crying. So then we are to give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We're to give honor to them as the weaker vessel. Treat them like Christ treated the church. Love them. Like in the church, we've got weak people. We've got people that gossip. They don't mean to gossip, some of them. We've got people that say things, that do things, and they don't mean to do it. But where is the strength of the church? Where are those that are supposed to be strong? The Bible said, let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. And if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. So then the feminine part of the church is to be comforted by the masculine part of the church. Some old mossy, I ain't supposed to talk like that, some hypocrite. I have heard them call them mossy back hypocrites. Some hypocrites. You know what they'll do? They'll sit out there and they'll say, well, I like that about comforting the feminine part. So that old whoremonging spirit gets a hold of them. And then, not only that, they like that. And then you turn you right around and you take the feminine part. And the feminine part is so carnally minded, till the woman, she thinks, well, I'm the feminine part. I don't like that at all. My husband confident in the women. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that a man can be a feminine part of the body of Jesus. Can be a man and still be the feminine part. And it takes the masculine part to console the feminine part. And it takes the feminine part to be a consolation to the masculine part. For it's the masculine part that brings forth the seed of life. But the inspiration comes from the feminine part. I don't know whether you can understand what I'm saying or not. See, for instance, maybe you're anointed. Maybe you've got the Word of God. Maybe the seed of Christ is coming forth. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Now, maybe the seed of Christ comes forth, but it's the inspiration of the listener, of them that are concerned. It's the inspiration that comes forth that causes life to come forth. And then there's the divine conception. Mary's divine conception was that Christ came forth. If you've been born again and you're a true virgin of God, the divine conception is that Jesus comes forth in your heart till Christ be formed within you. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. There's a lot of things we could say along those lines. Some of it we put on tape. But what I want you to see tonight is some of you are supposed to be strong. Every once in a while I get somebody out here to help me. They'll come out here and work. And all the time they're working, they'll say, yeah, old brother so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Old brother so-and-so don't never come out here. Old brother so-and-so don't do this. Old brother so-and-so. See, that's the man talking about his wife. And the wife, she's sitting over yonder somewhere, and she's going, yeah. Over there, I sew the buttons, and I polish the shoes, and I wash the dirty clothes, and I get the rough end of things. See, if you're strong enough, come out there and help me. Go out there and do something. Don't complain about the others. Maybe they're feminine part. I don't know. But whatever they are, let them be what they are. And don't get beside yourself over it. See, if that's what they are, that's all they are. And like some of them will come out there and they'll pick up a shovel and they'll shove a little dirt and they'll puff, you know. In about 15 minutes you look for them and I say, well, where's brother so-and-so? He's gone. Well, see, they can't help it. If it's a feminine part, didn't have no business out there to start with. Women ain't got no business around men to start with. See, they had to go home. They couldn't take it. Ain't got no business digging ditches. You understand what I'm saying? But let that masculine part come out there. He'll quit like a man. He'll quit when the job's done because he is a man. He's a real masculine part of God. You see what I mean? In the heat of the battle out here, when you get in the heat of the battle, and the devil rises up against you, and here you stand, you're in the heat of the battle, a feminine part, she'll run, or she'll lean on you. That's right, because she's a feminine part. She don't know what to do. That man flexes spiritual muscles, and she's ready to go back home. She's afraid. But that don't mean nothing. If you are real strong in God, you just flex your spiritual muscles too. Like Brother Branham had a vision one time. When that big Trinitarian kept beating the woman over the head, he just flexed his muscles and they kept growing until he was ready to beat that fellow over the head. So then when you meet the devil, you don't have to run. Be like David was. Don't run. Just sharpen your sword. Stand there and fight like a man. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you got a bunch of women, feminine part, women standing around, it's your job to protect them. They're looking to you. You're supposed to be strong. Not feminine, not weak, because you're masculine. Now, it's not wrong for the feminine part to be feminine. It's not wrong for the masculine part to be masculine. But it's wrong for the feminine part to try to be masculine and the masculine part to try to be feminine. That's perversion. God's got both. He don't mean for one to try to act like another. You can tell what you are. You can tell. If you're able to do a man's job, then you're a man. If you ain't, then confess you're a woman and take it from there. Do a woman's job, whatever it is. Just don't try to go around telling some of you that are in the feminine part, though you know good and well that masculine person that you've been talking to has got the godly intelligence of Christ and able to instruct you and able to lead you, able to tell you what you ought to do, but you always mumble, complain, and grumble about everything that he says. Always find fault with it. Well, I don't believe it. I ain't going to do that. He said it's this way. I don't believe it. But if you don't know it, then why do you fuss about it? He's supposed to be leading you. The Bible said the sons of God would marry the church. They're supposed to be leading the church. You're not supposed to tell him what to do. He's supposed to tell you what to do. Now, if you're the masculine part, then you tell him what to do. But if you realize in your heart and in your mind that you don't know and you can't understand and that you are not capable of telling him what's right, then for Christ's sake, listen. You're either a junior or a woman or something. And you need to wait till you get straightened out. Is that right? That's the Bible. That's the Bible. God is trying to reproduce himself. So then in the church, he's both feminine and masculine. He has set up the weaker one that is not as strong in the spirit that they might be encouraged by the masculine part. And these are to come together in a unit as a great body of Christ, one flesh, one bone, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Just like sheep can't lead themselves. It takes a shepherd to lead them. A lot of them say, well, if I'm masculine, then Brother Pike, what am I doing listening to you? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe you can tell me. But there's one thing for sure. If you don't know, you better listen to somebody. I know a lot of masculine fellas that could listen to somebody else. It wouldn't hurt them if they'd sit down just a little bit and listen to somebody else to get themselves straightened out. And it's the same way with the feminine part. Sometimes the masculine part may have a real understanding of God, but they might be so zealous it might do sometimes to listen to the weaker vessel, because they're trying to reason with you, and they might see where you're fixing to be tripped up. It helps. I never mock what my wife says until I know that it's the devil. And I never mock dreams or visions that my people come to me about. I'm very careful to do not to do that, because you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Who knows? But what God might see something that I don't see. And he might be trying to tell me. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Upon my handmaidens in that day I'll pour out of my spirit. Who knows what it might be? It's better just to go steady. Just to sit steady in the boat. Wait, consider it, because who knows what might be ahead. So I listen very reverently, very respectfully to every individual that comes to me. I try my best to listen to them. I try to understand them. No matter if I catch their spirit and I know the mischief of their heart, and like Jesus did, perceive their thoughts in my spirit and know good and well they're after my own hurt, I still try to listen. Because who knows but what it could be God. Who knows? When the man cursed David, David said there's got to be a reason for it. He couldn't do it if the preparation wasn't from God. The preparation of a man's heart is from God. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Let's everybody stand together. I'm not going to try to go any further tonight. I'm just trying to get over a little bit in the services. I've been ministering to you a little bit more, a little closer together, to try to get over a few thoughts to you, to try to get your minds in a settled condition to where you'll try to understand. See, the Bible tells us that if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, then how can he rule the church of God? You understand what I'm saying? That means that the church is run in a great similarity to your own house. Is that right? There's a great likeness there to your own house. So if you don't know how to handle it, then you wouldn't know how to handle the church. But if you know how to handle it, then you know how to handle the church. Is that right? Like I say, if you'll quit trying to figure me out and start trying to figure you out, you'll be a whole lot better off. You know why that I think you'd be better off? Because you ain't never going to figure me out. As people been figuring on me ever since I've been in this world. I know some had started many years ago. I see Ben grinning. He knows that's the truth. Many years ago. And even my own wife ain't got me figured out yet. She just loves me and have to take me for what I am. She can't figure me out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody that will. I'm glad that in the midst of the storm, Jesus is a shelter. People get upset, they get mad. They get angry. They get bitter. And they get even madder because you don't get mad. Bless God, I'm mad. You ought to be mad too. I'm in a bad spirit. You ought to be in a bad spirit too. That makes them even madder because they can't get you in one. But wisdom is justified over children. Let's sing the little song again. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine, partakers of his grace as gems in his crown to shine.
They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land of far to face with the king, to dine as he.